mercy was revealed. What selflessness and peace. My fate was surely sealed until he rescued me. His pardon for my sin, his bounty for my need. From slavery and shame I am redeemed. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. No fear can hold me down, no darkness steal my joy. For blood has been poured out, the enemy destroyed. Death could not hold him down. The cross was not enough to steal away his love, for he is God. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. And anyone who calls upon his name, they will be saved. They will be saved. The glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. And heaven can't contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way, the grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. And anyone who calls upon his name, they will be saved. Times I failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond. Thank you.
Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. You will above all else, my purpose remains, the art of losing myself. In my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine with
Amen. Let's give God a hand this morning. Before you're seated, take a moment to greet someone next to you. Shake a hand, give a hug, tell someone good morning.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. You guys can find a seat here in a minute. It's always good just to take a minute to reach out and let somebody know that you're glad that they're here this morning. Yeah, we had a great first service, and I'm excited about this service as well. This seems like every week we just get to see God at work, and that's what I love about Cornerstone. We see God at work here on Sunday morning. We see God at work throughout the week in people's lives, and we see Him at work through the service of the people here in this church. And I just want to thank you for that. A couple of things. One, if you're new with us this morning, we'd love it if you'd fill out a communication card. This just helps us to get to know you a little bit. So just real quick and easy, you can take these. You can put them in an offering box that are by either door when you leave, and that would be great. Would just help us to get to know you a little bit. Also, you got a worship guide when you came in. Lots of announcements, few things going on, let me make you aware of. Tonight, we do have our Super Bowl party church-wide. It's in here, in this room. It is so much fun. Bring plenty of snacks and food. Join us, and we will eat and blow everybody's diets for like 2 hours straight, 3 hours straight. We have a great time. I like brownies, just so you know. You think I'm kidding. Okay. Anyway, tonight, that's here, 6 p.m. We also have a special halftime show where we will be showing several of the football players sharing their testimonies. So sorry, Katy Perry fans, but we got some more important things to watch at halftime. It's going to be great tonight, and we're going to have a good time. So 6 o'clock starting here. We've also got the clothing closet's going to be opened up. This is a great way to serve at Cornerstone and just to help out and get to know some other people at Cornerstone and help serve our community. We've got a kids volunteer luncheon coming up on February 15th. And things like this that you need to sign up to help. You can always sign up for any of these activities over at a resource table at the computers over there. Just go over and you can figure it out real easy. Just a way to get pre-registered for some of this stuff coming up. And then last week, we also finished up our series on membership called You Belong Here. And I shared a little bit that after much prayer and thought and time by the elders talking about Cornerstone and our growth, one of the things that we decided to do to help us better care, provide support and encouragement to the people here at Cornerstone was to create a membership process. And we had never had this before. And it's just a way for us to really take the next step of commitment to you as well as the opposite in return, for you guys to be committed to the church. And it's just a great way to do that. And so we had we gave you the opportunity last week to sign up to be a member of Cornerstone. For those who had been through the series and agree with our vision and mission for the church, had over 100 people sign up the first week. That's awesome. And so today, we want to just, I know some of you may have been out of town, weren't here. This is your chance to fill this out and sign up if you were not here last week. After that, what we'll do is at the end of February, on February 22nd, we'll have a membership class. And every 2 months, we'll have a membership class where you can come on a Sunday night, learn more about Cornerstone, and give you an opportunity there to ask questions and to learn more about what we're doing. So, again, you can take one of these, fill it out, just drop it by the resource table after church, and we'll get you hooked up on that. So lots of stuff, as always, going on. And this morning, we're starting a new series on the book of Mark. I love when we take time just to go through a book of the Bible and study it in depth, and that's what we're going to start this morning. We'll be doing it for the next few months. So excited about this morning. If you guys join me in prayer, let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that we can come and worship you here in this place, that we can lift up the name of Jesus, that we can celebrate what you are doing here and around the world this morning. And so, Lord, may we just sing out this morning. May we give you an offering of praise just to thank you for who you are and for what you've done in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Mike didn't mention in the announcement sheet, there's also life groups in there. I'll make a little plug for that. Just to encourage you to join a life group because, if you're like me, I'm kind of an introvert. I can get up here and talk to you guys and sing to you or whatever, sing for it in front of you. But to go to one-on-one and start a conversation, that's not going to happen because I'm just really awkward when it comes to that. But so if you want to get to know people, start making relationships, that's the best way to do it, is to get into a life group because you get in a small setting, it's kind of a family setting, and you get to know people without having to put yourself out there, I guess. So just encourage you to do that. Would you stand with us as we continue to worship?
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. Stood before my failures and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed shoulders my soul now to stand. What can I say? What can I do? What can I do?
Break every chain.
chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the power that's in your name, Lord. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and love. We ask, God, that you would open our hearts and minds this morning, Lord, that you would speak through Mike and that it would draw us closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Starting a new series on the book of Mark this morning, and I'm looking forward to these next several weeks as we're going to be going through the Gospel of Mark, and it's going to be exciting. Before I jump in and start preaching, though, we got a couple of special guests with us this morning. Don and Pam Gillette are here with us this morning, and if you have been around Cornerstone a while, you know we do a lot of mission work in the country of Nicaragua, and we have for a number of years now, 8-10 years or so, we've been going to Nicaragua, and we've sent almost 100 people from this church to Nicaragua. And the missionary that runs the ministry there, it's Because We Care Ministries, Don and Pam Gillette, they're both with us this morning, so just want you guys to give them a welcome to have them with us. And I'll tell you, I've ridden all over in the back of pickup trucks and vans that I didn't know if they were going to go through the middle of streams and rivers and dodging potholes bigger than the car. And we've been all over Nicaragua and Honduras and doing ministry, and it's just been awesome to see God at work. But I'm going to give Don a chance to come up and share about Nicaragua. We've got a mission trip coming up June 13th to Nicaragua, so if you're interested in that, be sure and talk to me afterwards, and I'll tell you some more details. But Don, come on up, and I told him this is dangerous. You give Don a microphone. We may be here a while.
Thank you, brother. Well, I got the stage and the mic, so it's on. But we're glad to be here. We're excited to just reconnect with a lot of our friends. We get to meet a lot of people as missionaries, and Pam and I feel like we're the most blessed people in the world to get to take the gospel message and go into these villages and just share the love of Jesus. But before I jump into that, let me say thank you for the support of Cornerstone. You guys have been partners with us for a long time, and we're glad that we're able to share with you and be a part of what God's doing here in Galax. And we get to see things that we do come home, and you guys begin to do the same thing. Missions, foreign missions especially, not a bucket list item. And folks tend to treat it that way. Okay, I've been, I've done it, been there, done that, we're finished. When you look into the Word of God, it's not a matter of whether I go, it's a matter of whether I stay. So you have to work that part out. But the part about going is not optional. It's not something that we can sit down and think about, do I need to go? No. I don't feel led to go. I used to carry, Mike, these little lead weights around for people that need to feel led. We just give them some, they can stick it in their pocket and feel it anytime they want to. If you look into the Word of God, Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. It doesn't say if you want to, if you think you can, if God works all this out, then you can do that. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, therefore go. All right, there's two times he's saying go. It doesn't say if you can figure out the finances. Here's an amazing thing, and I just had this conversation with Travis, and so I get to chastise him. Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth has called us into missions, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. And you got to sit down and figure out how you can do that. It's not on you. It's on God. God spoke this world into creation, and if He says June the 13th is the time for you to go, He already knows how you're going to do that. Folks, that's where our faith and our trust comes into play. So I hope Pastor Mike has such a huge team that he has to actually do a second trip this year, or maybe even a third trip. We got time. We can work that out. In a few minutes, Pastor Mike's going to be talking about the gospel. And what a blessing it is to go through these potholes and jump up on the back of that big old dump truck and go up into a village that's filled with people that are living in cardboard boxes and offer this hope. Because that hope is not in the food that we missionaries are bringing, or the medical that we're going to bring, or the soccer balls that we're going to bring. Their hope is going to be in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And being able to share that with just hundreds and hundreds during the week. Under my voice right now, 90% of the people in this building have never shared their faith, and they've never shared the gospel message. We want to help you to break that cycle. So missions are a lot about not what you can do, but making yourself available and seeing what God can do to you. Thank you again. And I would ask a question. Mike's going to preach his message anyway. The Methodists are going to beat you to wherever you go for lunch anyway. So doesn't really matter. You got coffee back here? Do missionaries make a difference? I want to tell a story. Has Ava's story been told here? I want to tell it. One of yours. Ava was 8 years old a couple months ago. She was with us back in the summer. And I'm not bragging on Ava. Don't misunderstand anything I'm saying. Now, this is Travis's oldest daughter and Bonnie. But she chose to give up her birthday presents. And she asked for money. Maybe God's calling her to be a preacher. She's a lot more successful than I am at the begging thing, so we might need to bring her on staff. But they were able to send money to us, and that one 8-year-old child fed over 700 people for 3 days. That is amazing. That was good for the folks that were able to go to bed that night with a full stomach. But I think more so for an 8-year-old to learn about sharing and giving. This past 2 weeks ago, we were doing pastor training. We started with 10 pastors about 3 years ago. We now have 124, Pastor Mike, in 4 different locations, 2 over in Honduras and 2 in Nicaragua. But because of these preachers and their influence in their villages, last 2 weeks ago, I had a 16-year-old boy that we met about 14 years ago. He was just a baby. And about 5 years ago, he surrendered. He said, God's called me to be a preacher. And this past summer, some missionaries were there, and they were visiting with some young men. And they started praying with them. And our friend Hector was praying also. And so the missionary asked the interpreters, like, what was he praying? And they told him that he was praying for these young men, praying that God would touch their heart, that they would get saved, give up all this mean stuff. And so after I heard that story, I said, well, Hector, it's time for you to start leadership training. And so he was in school. But after that missionary had said something to him, and they asked the interpreters, the missionary told him, said, young man, you're going to change your village. And he said, no, sir, I'm going to change my country. So missionaries make a difference, and we pray that you'll come be a part of what God's doing in Nicaragua. Thank you.
It is awesome to hear about how God's at work. And in Nicaragua, Don and Pam, they have a model farm. And so they teach people how to farm and, you know, provide food for their family and for their villages. We do the pastor training, which is like a mini seminary. That, you know, he said now 120 pastors are coming to this, and just seeing how God is working, it's been awesome. Just for our church to be able to partner with them and send people and do ministry. And if you're here this morning, you've been to Nicaragua, raise your hand. I see you can see people just scattered through the whole church that have been. And a lot of just great things that are happening. So if you're interested in going, write this date on your calendar, February 15th, 7 to 8 p.m. It's a Sunday night here at the church. We are having an informational meeting. So you can come learn more about it. You can sign up at the resource table to get put on our email list, where we'll be emailing out info about the trip and how to go and the funding part of it and all that. But it's just amazing, life-changing trip. We've been able to take all three of our kids and serve there, and it's just an awesome opportunity you have. So be praying about that, be thinking about it, and start figuring that. Like Don said, if God wants you to go, the funding will happen. Don't let that deter you. We'll make it happen. So I'm excited about that. This morning we are starting a new series on the Book of Mark, and I want to be a little open and honest and starting out that it's been a tough few weeks for a lot of people here in this church. I know that. I know that we've experienced, a lot of people in this room have experienced the loss of a loved one. And just over the last few weeks, we talked a couple weeks ago about Brock Funk, who's a 28-year-old young man, lost his life from a sudden illness. And a lot of you guys were connected to him. Just this week, Tommy Adams, who many of you even grew up with here in our community, he's such an inspiration to so many people. He passed away. And our very own Bridget Broadstreet, just 33 years old, she passed away this week. The funeral was Friday. And so when things like that happen in life, you can't help but I know the thoughts that run through your mind, and we think, why did this happen? Is God fair? Is God even there? And if he is, then why is this world so messed up? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever just stepped back and said, we live in a messed up world. It doesn't always make sense. And what's, you know, and this is supposed to be good news. So how does it affect my life? And how does it change the reality I'm living in? And I want you to know this morning, first of all, God is not scared of your questions. God's not sitting up there saying, oh, never thought of that one before. I mean, God is not afraid of you asking tough questions. The key is going to be, though, where do you go for your answers? Do you go to TV and say, okay, let's see what, you know, Dr. Phil has to say, or whoever is on now, I don't even know. Do you go and ask a friend? Or do you go to God's Word for hope and for answers? I'm telling you, when you seek God, you will find Him. And that's not me saying it, that's what God says, right? And so this morning, I just couldn't help but think that God was in this when we planned this months ago to do a study on the Book of Mark, saying, okay, you know, the timing's right. This is what we need right now for hope and for security and for answers and to know, to make sense of this world we're living in. And I'm telling you that the whole story of the world and how we fit into it, the best way to understand that is to study God's Word. And so what we're going to do, we're going to be taking this book and looking and learning more about the life of Jesus. In the Bible, there's four Gospels that tell the story of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were all written by people with that name, right? And by the author, they're labeled by the author's name. Matthew, let's talk about why they were written. If you've ever wondered why they were written, the Jews love Scripture. And so the best way to reach them was for one of their own to reach them. Matthew was a Jew, and he wrote to the Jewish people. And so he talks a lot about their traditions, their rituals, their past, and the prophecies that led to the coming of the Messiah. And Mark spoke to the Romans. The Romans were kind of the movers and shakers of the society. They were the leaders, and so Mark is an action-filled book. And you'll learn that over the next few weeks. It's just like it's bam, bam, bam. It just everything just kind of runs together. It's going crazy. He's just talking about what Jesus did. Luke was a Greek and he spoke to the Greeks. And so what we see with Luke, he talks a lot about the culture and philosophy and gave insight and the truth and those things that appealed to the Greeks. And then finally, John just wrote to everybody talking about the love of God. And so for us, as we kind of look at the Gospels, each one gives us a different perspective into the life of Jesus. And we're going to be zeroing in, we're going to be focusing in on the book of Mark. And I want you to realize, too, that when we look at the Bible, that we just have a sliver of everything that happened with Jesus. Right? I mean, what he said, the things he did. I mean, he spent 3 years traveling with the disciples, teaching and ministering and serving. And in John 21:25, it even says that Jesus did so many things that if every one of them were written down, that the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written about him. And so just for us to step back and think, man, just what we see, even when we pick a whole book and spend months studying it, we're just getting a glimpse of the goodness and greatness of God. And so for us here on Sunday morning, what we're going to do, we're just going to take this book of Mark and we're going to jump in. First thing, who is Mark? Well, we know that we can learn a little bit about him from books outside of the Bible. One of the early church fathers was a guy named Papias. And he was the bishop of Hierapolis, and he lived from the year 60 or so to the year 135 A.D. And this guy, what he did, he wrote about Mark. And he said Mark was a secretary and a translator for Peter. He was one of the first 12 of Jesus' disciples. And Papias said that he wrote accurately all that Peter remembered. So here's what's amazing about that. Papias was good friends with John. John was a disciple of Jesus, right? And so here we have an eyewitness account. We have friends, and we have Papias saying, okay, this Mark guy, he's the real deal. He is who he says he is, and he wrote accurately about Jesus because he was friends with Peter, and Peter told him everything to write down. And so in Mark, we learn a lot about Peter because we see a lot of what Peter does and says kind of inserted into the story. And so for Mark, even though he may not have been one of the 12 disciples, we see still an eyewitness account of everything that Jesus said and did according to Peter. And so that really helps us to learn more about it. Pastor and author Tim Keller says that in the very first sentence of Mark, that we learn that God has broken into history. His style communicates a sense of crisis, that the status quo has been ruptured. He says Jesus is seen as a man of action, moving quickly and decisively from event to event. There is relatively little of Jesus' teaching in the Gospel of Mark, mainly because we see Jesus doing. Therefore, we can't remain neutral. We have to respond. And I'll just tell you, when we start new series like this, sometimes I give you some book ideas to read. If you're a reader, if you'd like to learn, Tim Keller, that quote came from a book called Jesus is the King. It's also published under another name called The King's Cross. And it's a book about the Gospel of Mark. And what he does in that book is kind of tells Mark's story. And it's kind of a commentary narrative. It's a really cool book. And if you want to learn more about Mark while we're going through this study, I would really highly recommend that book. And so over the next few months, what we're going to do, we're going to focus in on this question, who is Jesus? In preparing for this series, I really, and trying to make sense of maybe some of the tragedies we've gone through and experienced over the past few weeks, it really led me to three questions that I think we all wrestle with. The first one is simply, who is Jesus? And that's a question that every one of us has to wrestle with. Who is this Jesus? Is he just a good teacher, a good guy? You know, maybe you've heard the stories and you've pieced together some of the stories about Jesus. But who is Jesus to you? That's the question we've got to deal with. Mark chapter 1. I just kind of want to open this up in this study. And it just says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Okay, Mark wastes no time here in establishing who Jesus is. When we read that, you know, we read it, and okay, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay, let's go on. That was the introduction. I mean, aren't we guilty of that sometimes? We just skim over something, and we don't really stop and think about what he means. This is awesome here. First of all, you realize that Jesus Christ, Christ is not his last name, right? Okay, it's not like, okay, no. Christ is his title. He was known as Jesus of what? Nazareth, right? He was known... by his family, who his family. When it says Jesus Christ, the first thing Mark does is establish that he is the Christ. And the Christ, Christos, was a Greek word meaning an anointed royal figure. It was another way of referring to the Messiah, the king who was going to come and rescue his people. And so as soon as he says Jesus Christ, everybody went, whoa, he's claiming that this Jesus guy is the Messiah. I mean, this is pretty shocking to his readers. I mean, as soon as they read that very first sentence, he grabs their attention. But he takes it one step further. And then he says, the Son of God. Okay, Son of God is another, it's astonishingly a bold term. It goes beyond the popular understanding of the Messiah at that time. And he says, okay, not only is Jesus going to be the Messiah, he is going to be God in the flesh. Divinity. I mean, he is saying Jesus is God. End of story. Right there. And so the readers are thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who is this guy and what is he saying? This is like shocking what he's reading. But then he said, okay, not only that, let's go back to Isaiah the prophet and talk about the prophecy of the Messiah. And the prophecy of the Messiah talks about somebody coming and preparing the path. John the Baptist, and Mark is saying that person that Isaiah was talking about, it was John the Baptist. That's the forerunner, that's preparing the way of the Lord. That is John. He's saying not only is Jesus the Christ, not only is he God in the flesh, but he is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And so by now, he's got everyone's attention. And hopefully he's got our attention. Who is Christ to us? Is he just a good person? Is he just somebody we read about? Is he just a historical figure? Or was he and is he God in the flesh? Our Messiah, our Savior, our King. We read just a few verses later in verse 9 in chapter 1. It says that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, if you know this story, the heavens were torn open. The Spirit descended on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And so right in the first chapter of Mark, already we're seeing him establishing who Jesus is. Okay, Jesus was baptized. He came up out of the water. The dove was significant too because in the Old Testament translations, the Aramaic translations they were reading at the time, that God's Spirit was described as a dove. It goes all the way back to Genesis where the Spirit of God fluttered over the water and it said like a dove. And so when they heard this and they realized, okay, it's tying everything back together from the Old Testament scripture to the new, that God, this is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at work together. And so we're seeing this picture that kind of starts taking shape. And I'll just ask you, when this question, who is Jesus? In Mark, we see one of the most direct statements about that. And we'll be studying this in a few weeks, but I wanted to go ahead and pull it out and start talking about it because the question that we face is the same question that Peter was faced with. In Mark 8, it's talking about Jesus. He was traveling with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, you know, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. But Jesus asked him, "But who do you say that I am?" And when I read that, every time I read that, it just hits me. Mike, who do you say that Jesus is? How would you answer that? Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." You are the Messiah. You are the coming King. You are God in the flesh. And then Jesus said, okay, just want to make sure you knew that. Don't tell anybody now. You know, I mean, for us, it's a little different. Jesus tells us, okay, now we know who he is. Let's tell everybody. Let's go and share the good news that we have. But he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? He asked you, who do you say that Jesus is? That's the first question that we respond to. The second question that leads us right in to it. Okay, now we kind of know who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. He's the King. He is this one that all the Old Testament has been pointing towards. What's the gospel? What's this good news that we have? In Mark 1:1, I don't know if you caught it. I kind of skipped over it. The beginning of the what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. That's literally what that word means. The good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so when you hear that word gospel, what does it mean? Have you ever really stopped to think? If somebody said, Don mentioned that 90-some% of people have never shared the gospel. If I asked you, what is the gospel? I have a pretty good feeling that most of the people in here, even though you've been in church, even though you've heard the gospel, you would probably be scared to death to try to put into words what the gospel is. A lot of people, I mean, they're like, God did this. Do we really know and understand what the gospel is? You see, the primary purpose of the book of Mark, it's not a historical account. It's not meant to be like a dry history book. It's not meant to be a biography of Jesus. The primary purpose of the book of Mark is to share the gospel. That's what Mark is all about. It's to share the gospel. And so what we see here is that Mark is sending us a message. Jesus, he came to share the gospel. Our responsibility then is to share the gospel. And that you have hope, even in the midst of your problems, even in tragedy, you have hope. Now, several years ago, I did a series called The Gospel. And we went through the book of Mark, and we kind of unpacked it and studied through, the book of Romans. And studied through the book of Romans and looked at the gospel message. And in that study, I showed a video to you guys. It was called Gospel. And that video, again, what's interesting about it, it was based on the book of Mark. It was based on the book by Tim Keller called The King's Cross, and he used some quotes from it. Now, some of you are kind of new. Some of you have seen this, some of you haven't. So it's short. Let me show this video and then explain some about it. I love that video because it really does tell the story of what the gospel is. That we are slaves no more, that we are free, that Jesus has fought for us and won, and that we have hope. Tim Keller, in that book, right, some of those passages were taken from, he said, right there you can see the difference between Christianity and all other religions, including no religion. The essence of other religions is advice. Christianity is essentially news. Other religions say, this is what you have to do in order to connect with God forever. This is how you have to live in order to earn your way to God. But the gospel says, this is what has been done in history. This is how Jesus lived and died to earn the way to God for you. Christianity is completely different. It's joyful news. It's a hope. It's why we can be joyful even in the midst of tragedy. It's why we can stand firm in our faith, even when the world is crazy around us. We have good news. The gospel says that no matter what you've done or no matter what you haven't done, you can have faith in Christ. You can have life in Christ because it's not based on what you do. It's based on what he has done for you. You know, what we see, and that's what makes Christianity so different from every other world religion. It's not a list of rules and regulations. It's a relationship with Jesus. In verse 14 of Mark chapter 1, we see the very first thing that Jesus says here in the book of Mark. It says John was arrested. Jesus came into Galilee. He was proclaiming the gospel of God. And this is what Jesus said. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom is here. Why? Because the King is here. And then what does he say to do? Repent and believe in the gospel. You know, when we look at this story of the kingdom of God is at hand, what it does, it kind of ties into the whole storyline of the Bible. From creation, that God created a world that was perfect, where He had fellowship with humanity, and there was no sickness and disease. And yet we see, because of Adam and Eve's sin and disobedience, their rebellion against God, we see that perfect world shattered. We see relationships broken. We see nature broken. We see death enter the world. We see all sorts of problems that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. You want to know why we live in a messed up world? Don't blame the media. Don't blame... It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Do you realize that? That it goes all the way... Sin is... We live in a broken world. It has messed up everything. And we look for, you know, politics and media and all that stuff to blame. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And the good news is that Jesus has come to rescue us from this mess we've made of our lives. We've all sinned. We've all disobeyed God. We've all rebelled. And Jesus says, I have come, I love you, yet even though you're in the midst of your sin, I love you, and I'm here to rescue you and pull you out of it. You are free. You are slaves no more. And the good news of the gospel is the kingdom of God doesn't stop there. That one day there's going to be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, because Jesus is going to restore this world the way that it was meant to be. And so we see that the story of the Bible, and I encourage you, if you've never picked up this little booklet we have over at the resource table called The Story, it does a great job of explaining the gospel message. It does a great job of explaining the whole story of the Bible and how Jesus fits into it and how we fit into it. And just understanding that the gospel is so important. John 3:16, you all probably have heard it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And so we start getting these questions. Who is Jesus? Okay, He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the coming King. What's the gospel? What's this good news? Is that we are slaves no more, that we have been freed, that we have been rescued by Jesus and what He did on the cross. When He died, He took the punishment for us. He took our sin, He took our shame, He took our guilt, He took our condemnation. And so we see that's the gospel message. But then that leads us to the final question that we've got to ask ourselves this morning. How do we respond? Right? I mean, naturally, if this is, and I told you earlier, we start questioning, okay, God, if this is good news, what does it mean for me in the here and now, in the reality of my world, how I'm living my life, how does this change me? Here's what I want you to see. Let's look at Mark 1, pick it up in verse 4. It says, John appeared. This is John the Baptist. He was baptizing in the wilderness. He was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem, they were going out to Him, being baptized by Him in the River Jordan, confessing their sin. And now get this picture. I mean, you look at churches today, most pastors don't dress and act like this. Just be honest, right? John was clothed with camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. Every time I read that, I can't get the picture out of my head, because I've got a smell in my head. You know what I mean? I bet you could smell John before you saw him. I mean, you just think about this. I mean, the camel hair, the leather, the locust, wild honey. And he preached, and he said, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie. We see humility here. And he says, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What we see here, when John comes, he says, you know what you need to do? You need to repent and confess your sins. When Jesus comes, what does He say? We read it just a few minutes ago. He said, repent and believe the good news. We live in a world that wants forgiveness without repentance. We live in a world where people want to be forgiven of their sin without changing their life. Some have called it kind of easy believism. Hey, just come to church, sign the card. Hey, you're good to go. Is that really what Jesus requires of us? Just pray a prayer. Just, you know, go on about your normal everyday life. What do we see throughout the Bible? We see over and over again in the New Testament this word that we tend to skip over, that we tend to gloss over, that we tend to neglect, this word repentance. What is it? What do we see here? John the Baptist, he shows us following Jesus, it's not merely what you say, it's an inward transformation that takes place. The gospel changes us from the inside out. Acts 2. Let's just kind of walk through the New Testament here a little bit. Let me show you a few verses. In Acts 2, Peter just preached an amazing message. They heard it. The people that were standing there were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of his apostles, "What shall we do? How do we respond?" There you go. How do we respond? That's our question we're dealing with. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." How do you respond? Repent, be baptized, follow in obedience. Luke 5, Jesus answered them and said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come to call sinners to repentance." Luke 24, he told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things." In other words, the message that's going to go out is repentance. A change, a transformation that takes place. Acts 3:19. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Acts 20:21. "I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you see why repentance is important? Do you see why we can't just gloss over that? And I know that in church like this, we are all struggling with some type of sin. It may be pride. It may be addiction. There's so many things that I know people are struggling with. But hear me on this, okay? Just because you're struggling with it doesn't mean you have to continue struggling with it. God can deliver you. He can set you free. When we sing songs like this morning, like "Break Every Chain," we're not just up here, "Break Every Chain." No, we believe it. God can deliver you. And I want you to know that you may be here, and we welcome everybody that comes into this church. This is a safe place, and I know people come here. And if you're here and you're struggling with sin, I want you to know we don't want you to stay there. We don't want you to stay in your struggle. You can break free from that. The simple fact is God demands repentance. He wants us to turn our life. And repentance means we turn from the things that God hates and we turn towards God Himself in that relationship that we live in. And so you cannot stay where you are and go with God. That's just common sense. We have to change our life. A transformation takes place. We see that with the disciples. In Mark 1, if you look at verse 16, what happens? He sees Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, you know, they disappeared. There we go. "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. They were mending their nets, and immediately he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boats with the hired servants and they followed him. Here's what that verse tells me. When Jesus saw them, he didn't just say, "Hey guys, do you believe I'm the Christ? Okay, good. Let me move on to the next person." No, what did he say? He said, "Come, follow me." Your life is about to change. When you put your faith in Christ, make no mistake, your life will forever be different. Your priorities change. Your desires change. Your thoughts change. Your actions change. That's what happens when you are transformed by the power of the gospel. Everything about your life changes. And you look at, you know, in the Old Testament times and New Testament, when a rabbi didn't go to the students and say, "Hey, come be my disciple." No, students went to a teacher and said, "Can I be your disciple?" Jesus flipped that all around. And Jesus shows us that he's available to all of us. And he simply says, come follow me. How do we respond? We follow him in obedience. Starts with repentance, where we turn our life around. We leave the sin behind. We follow after Jesus. It continues on through obedience by baptism, saying, okay, you asked me to, I'm going to be baptized to show publicly that my faith is in Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of what Jesus has done for me. Baptism is that public proclamation. It unites us to a local body of believers. In baptism, it's that beautiful picture of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. And, you know, we're left, though, with these three questions we've talked about this morning. Who is Jesus? What is the gospel? And how do I respond? And those are three questions that each one of you have to wrestle with. I can't answer them for you. Each one of us has that choice we make. Can you say with certainty that Jesus is your Lord and he is your Savior? Lord means master. That means that just like when he said to the disciples, come follow me, you've accepted that call. You're going to lay down your life and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. When I ask you, what is the gospel? Do you understand that Jesus came? He lived a perfect life. He died to take your sin, your shame. And that when we put our faith and trust in him, we can receive forgiveness. We can receive new life in Christ. And we respond by simply surrendering, by repentance, by giving our life to Christ. This morning, I'm going to ask our praise team to come back up. And I want us all to be able to wrestle with these questions, but not just to wrestle with them, but to be able to come back to Christ and have the answer to them. To know without a doubt that Jesus is who he says he is, that he came for us. And so this morning, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to give you a chance to respond to the gospel this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can learn from your word the importance of knowing who you are. That Jesus is not just some historical figure, but he is alive. That he was crucified for our sins, that he was dead and he was buried, but yet he rose again 3 days later so that we might have eternal life. And now that he sits at the right hand of the Father, Lord, help us to understand that true life, true meaning, true purpose can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can make sense of this crazy world we live in. And it's based not on some blind faith, but it's based on historical accounts of the life of Jesus. Eyewitness accounts that we read and we've learned from. It's based on personal experiences of transformation. How Jesus has changed each and every one of us who believe. How he's changed our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our actions. Lord, help us just to come to you and surrender today. Help us to respond to this gospel. To say, Lord, I leave my old life behind, the sin, the shackles, the pain, the guilt, the condemnation. I leave that behind and I come to the cross and I lay them at the foot of the cross. If you're here this morning while every head is bowed and you can't say for certain that Jesus Christ is your Lord, I want this morning to be an opportunity for your life to be forever changed. When you call out to Jesus, he will save you. The Bible says when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. Not based on what we've done, not based on what we've said, but based on what we believe. And so here this morning, I want to give each and every person a chance just to pray with me. And the prayer is just a reflection of what's going on inside your heart. That surrender that takes place. Just to say, dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up. I know that I've disobeyed and rebelled against you. But right now, Lord, I seek your forgiveness. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive me of my sin. I know that I can have new life in Christ. I know that my life, once I place my faith and my trust in you, that I'm a new creation, that everything changes. Lord, help me to obey. Help me to follow. Help me not to be held back by old desires and old problems. But help me to follow after you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, save me. Come into my life. Change me. I place my faith, my trust, my belief, my life in your hands. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here this morning, if you're here with us and you prayed that prayer, I'd ask that you would fill out a communication card and let us know, or come, better yet, come talk to us. Well, we want to give you a chance to respond this morning, to sing out, to celebrate the fact that we are slaves no more. We are free. That God has broken every chain for us. And so will you guys stand this morning, let's close and let's sing out to Him this morning. I'll be in the back if you want to talk and if you want to pray.
God, help us this week as we go through our lives that to help us to reflect on those questions, Lord. Who is Jesus to us? What is the gospel to us? And how are we going to respond, Lord? Help us, God, to respond in the spirit of repentance. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and have a great week.